warm welcome to everyone listening to the second English episode of Redefine Normal. Today we're talking about money. So why do we talk about money here? Well, the first reason is we don't talk about money. Since we're not talking about money, or at least that's what society told us, it creates a stigma. It creates a taboo topic, and this is what we are all about on this channel. So we're talking about taboos and starting to talk about all those things in order for us to conquer those stigmas and those taboos. But no worries, I won't tell you to fix your money theme with affirmations only or manifestations. Whilst this can be a very interesting part of your game changer, it's not the foundation, right? So not talking, as I said, creates a stigma. And this year is an introduction, meaning it is supposed to open up your horizon about money and give a few answers to possible questions you may have. There will be a whole lot more to this, so stay tuned. But for now, let's dive right into it. Why is psychology on money, or why is trauma and money even something that is worth talking about? And what is it costing us to not face our hidden beliefs around money? First off, let's talk about some common money problems. As I see it, there are mainly three different types, right? So there are people who don't have any money or just little of it. Then there are people who have a lot of money and hold on to it, like it would create safety for them. And then there are those people who are in a constant up and down of having a lot and having none, like feast and famine. This is the case when you get a bunch of money, or if you get your income or whatsoever, and you have the urge to put it all out, to spend it all, just the minute you get it. You can't have something in the end of the month, so you don't really have the chance to save anything, and therefore don't really get anywhere with more than your regular income. Some common money beliefs are, and the list is so long, like for sure, money is dirty, money is evil, you have to work hard for your money, rich people have a bad character, money doesn't grow on trees, which is quite funny because actually it does. So those are some beliefs. It's quite interesting to see where those beliefs are coming from. Money is dirty can start even with you being a kid and your parents telling you that you don't put money in your mouth, which is obviously a good intention. And this is something that I want to talk about a little bit further, because some of the things we are having as bad beliefs right now, bad in quotation marks, are things that came to us with a good intention, right? But good intention doesn't always mean that it's doing good things for us. So we still look at those things, even though they came from a good place. Then we can look at media. So, for instance, money is evil, rich people are bad. I bet you that when you think of rich people in movies, at least one person who's playing the bad character or the anti-hero is coming to mind, right? Then we learn pretty early on, money is making you corrupt. Because people, older people when we were kids, right? So everyone is an older person. Tell us, politicians, or singers or football players or whatever, like they earn so much money and they don't deserve it. Look at them, they are so big and they're doing so many stupid things with their money and it's all corrupt. We learn from the anger of our parents, or not even just parents, also school and friends, right? And those kind of people. We learn that it's not a good thing when you have a lot of money, that many people who have a lot of money don't use it quite resourceful, that many people who have a lot of money actually don't really think about the people who have less. So this is why we start thinking, well, you're greedy and you're not giving back and you're not caring about people when you have money. Because we read articles on how the money from foundations, from NGOs is misused for illegal purposes. And because those things are obviously newsworthy, and those ideas lead to our beliefs. It's quite simple as that. And not everyone has the same beliefs around money, so it totally makes sense to sit down and to write down what you think about money and what you think about wealth. Maybe you have specific requirements. Maybe you think only men can be rich. Maybe you think only white people can be rich. Maybe you believe that only people who are not gay or not transgender or only people who are slightly right or whatever, maybe, or people who are only thin, right? Maybe you think only those people can be rich. In those cases, it's a very good start to Google an example that suits you, someone who is like you. So if you are, for instance, an older black female, or if you are a younger transgender male, or it doesn't really matter. So if you have anything, any kind of thing where you believe, when I have this, I can't be rich, or if it must not even be rich, it can be wealthy, because wealth is defined by yourself, just like success is defined by yourself. So when you have one of those things and you just find someone who has it, in quotation marks, and still is wealthy, then this proves you wrong. And then you can think, well, if this person can do it, or another good one is, I'm a mom, I can't be wealthy. Well, there are many wealthy moms, even without a dad, by the way. So this gives you hope. This gives you the possibility that there is something. It opens up your horizon a bit. And you don't have to follow step by step what this person did to create wealth, because obviously you have your own way. I'm just saying this so you can open up a little bit about what you believe. Write it down. Think of examples of who did it. Google about it when you don't have any examples in your way, right? So let's think about some truth about money. Money is neither good or bad. It just is. Let that sink in for a minute. Money is neither good nor bad. It just is. It is what it is. And same goes with prices, right? They're so individual. I can sell you an apple for a dollar if you're in the Europe. I can sell you an apple for a euro, right? And you can be like, oh wow, this is very cheap. But then maybe you have your own apple tree and you'll be, okay, that's kind of expensive, right? Or I sell you an apple for $10 and I'll be like, oh wow, this is an amazing apple, and even Queen Elizabeth used to eat those kind of apples and it's so special. And maybe you buy it, right? And maybe another person comes and is like, what's wrong with you? $10 for an apple, right? So it is a very unique thing what you consider to be costly or cheap. What you consider to be expensive, too much, right? Or not enough. Maybe you're even suspicious because you think, how is this so cheap? It can't be legit, right? So money is neither good nor bad, it just is. Therefore, it is not the goal to love money, which is the first thing you actually learn when you enter this whole bubble around money. You're like, oh, you have bad beliefs around money, let's start to love money. And while you can still be proud of your accomplishments and proud of the money you have and proud of the things you can do with it, it's not the ultimate goal to love money. Why not? Because when you don't have it anymore, like let's say you create success, you create the financial freedom you want to have, and you love it. You love the money, right? You find it's really good for your life. It is the goal to feel neutral about it, indeed, how Chantal Thiel frames it. Otherwise, you will always be a bitch to money. And that's not our goal. I mean, that's what I try to say. When you have a lot of money, when you created a lot of money, and you're happy about it because you love money, and then you lose it for some reason, doesn't matter which reason, you will be incredibly shattered. You will be very sad. You will be mad, probably. And the point is, you can't connect your worth and your happiness to money. This is true. You can do more things with money because it's a resource. It's something that opens up possibilities for you. It's like, well, it's a stream of income, right? It's something that's leading you towards thing. It's when I have money, I can do this, I can do that, I can do whatever, right? But it's not the goal to love money. It just is what it is. But why is it so important to look at money from a more psychological perspective or even a trauma point of view? Let me explain this real quick. Money is just another relationship in your life. This means that when we look at the kind of boundaries we have had as children, the kind of attachment styles, the kind of relationship styles, which is, by the way, a concept by Mary Ainsworth and Bowlby, two psychologists, you can look it up. We have in general, like, we learn a whole lot about our relationship with money. So look at how your childhood used to look like. Look at your relationship to your parents or your other caretakers. And then look at how you treat money, right? There is something like a secure boundary, binding. There is something like an insecure or even avoidant pattern. There's an ambivalent pattern. Google it. First thing you have to know is what you experience in life, especially things that are connected to big emotions and unprocessed emotions, are stored in your body. You can think about all the things that happened to you. You can even go to psychotherapy and process a whole lot. But when you don't involve your body, you leave out about 50% of the equation. This means you have those attachment styles, you have those memories, you have those experiences, which are still somewhere inside of you. Therefore, it is possible that you don't make any progress, even though you went to 3 or 4 psychotherapists already and feel frustrated about it. And it makes sense that you feel frustrated because you think you do all the work. You go to the psychotherapy or to the healers or whatever, and you think about it and you talk about it, and it's painful and it's hard. And whilst this can help you within the process, it cannot solve 100% of it, because it was always mind and body. Always. A little bit more specific. How does trauma have to do with money? First off, what is actually trauma? As a psychologist myself, I realize that trauma has somewhat of an, let's say, elite status. We talk about it when we talk about people who are survivors, of people who saw death in the eyes, who endured abuse or other unspeakable things, people with PTSD and people who have trauma. Those are the things, those are the people who come to mind when we talk about trauma, right? In reality, however, which may shock you, it is we all have trauma. We all have trauma. And those traumas are mostly subconscious and cause complex dynamics within yourself, your set of beliefs, and your behavior. Trauma, per definition, is a happening that was utterly shocking to you and happened to a time in your life where you did not have the resources to deal with it adequately, which then results in lasting change. And as a kid, for instance, you didn't develop many resources just yet. Think about how easy a kid can be traumatized. It can happen when a kid wakes up and their parents went to the supermarket because they thought that the kid is still sleeping. But they won't come back for about 2, maybe 3 hours if it's a big supermarket, which is an eternity for a kid, which can lead the kid to think that they are all alone and no one cares about them. Or when we get more practical, I already told you about the attachment styles, which have everything to do with trauma. But let me put it in a more specific example. Let's say one of your parents is absent and gives you no love, but all the money you want and need, and even more than you want and need. You may learn from that that money is love, or even that you can buy love. Another example would be, let's say your parents praise you for doing what they want, for being nice, for meeting their wishes, to be pleasant and meet their expectations, but dismiss and even neglect you when you tell about your own opinion and feelings. They don't let you have your own opinions and feelings. And in those cases, you may learn that your opinion is not that important, or even that you don't have any worth. In fact, many people walk around having the biggest feeling of unworthiness, leading them to magnetize people who use this, or to magnetize jobs which mirror that. Because if you are worth nothing, you are likely to have a job where you are treated like nothing or paid like nothing. Or it could result in you believing that you can earn money, but not with being yourself, because yourself is worth nothing, and therefore accept jobs in which you do things you don't actually enjoy particularly. This is my tiny, tiny introduction. My tips firsthand would be, write down your beliefs around money. Do automatic writing, which means that you set a timer of about 20 minutes and you have your little notebook or paper, whatever, in a pen, and you just think about money or rich people or wealth in general, and you write down what comes to mind without having your pen leave the paper. Just write it all out. And in the end, you can look at it and see what resonates with you the most, which sentences, highlight it, and then you can work with it. The first step is always knowing what you actually think, what actually your set of beliefs are, because making something visible is the first step of healing it, right? Follow for more on this. In the end, I just want to drop you a few recommendations for this kind of money field. For practical money knowledge and tips around this, check out Denise Duffield-Thomas. She has a podcast called Chill and Prosper. She's a self-made millionaire, which is very chill, and I've talked to her for a little bit. And I'm in one of her programs, which I quite enjoyed. But she also has a book with the name Chill and Prosper. So if you're thinking about diving deeper into this, feel very free, big recommendation. And if you're thinking about diving deeper into trauma work, look out for Chantal Thiel. Chantal and then T-H-I-E-L. If you're a German speaker or if you speak English only, Chantal Thiel Business on Instagram. She has her own podcast as well, which is German at the moment, and it's called Trauma Healer, Trauma Healing Podcast. Exactly, right. Yeah, so that's it for me for now. I wish you a very pleasant day. And remember, you are good. All is good. You are loved. You are beautiful. See you soon.